Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, the mystery and me, if you would stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God's Word when we read it by standing. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Now, as you know, in our review, our first part of this is a review. The Ephesians focus is the church, and Paul's prayer for the church, Paul's prayer for you, we keep saying this, is that and it's 1:17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's the one that draws you into the family, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints? Folks, we want to have the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened to who this God is, who the Lord Jesus is. That's his prayer. That's our prayer. And whenever you're praying for somebody that is off, that's had problems, they've gone down a wrong road, pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That's what we're praying for. We're not praying for a soft landing. We're not praying for, you know, whatever else we pray for. Sometimes we pray, oh, Lord, get them off the drugs. Oh, Lord, get them off the alcohol. Oh, Lord, get them off the this. Oh, Lord, get them out of the pornography. Oh, Lord, get them out of that relationship. Oh, Lord. No. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, and you may know who the Lord Jesus is. Once you do that, all this other stuff starts to peel away. Now, we learned last time that believers, not everyone, you have to be a believer, have been reconciled to God. That meant to restore to a proper relationship. Mankind, remember, all mankind is an enemy of God. Isn't that kind of peculiar? That we are all at enmity with God. We are separated from God. We are in different kingdoms with a different ruler. Remember, when you were born into earth as a child, you were born with imputed sin. Adam's sin was imputed or credited to you. And that was Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death passed upon all men because all men have sinned. We're all in the kingdom of darkness and must be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the only way to get there is through the Lord Jesus. That's it. It's not through Allah, it's not through Buddha, it's not through, who's the rest of them? I mean, just all the others, okay? It's not through them. Those are false paths. There's a hostility between the kingdom of darkness, hating really the kingdom of light, and that's because Satan is behind it. Now, what did God do? God sent his son, and that is a love gift to the earth, to restore right relationship with humanity. And God's love cure for us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, that salvation is available to everybody, folks. His son to reconcile us, to restore us to right relationship, sinful man to God, to a holy God. And it's only, we learned last time in 2:16, it is only through the cross. It is only through the cross of the Lord Jesus. It isn't you saying, okay, I really mean it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to be really good. I swear. I promise. Forget that. You broke that promise right when you said it. Okay? It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have any success in overcoming anything. You can go to all the programs you want. Has any other religion had someone to reconcile man to God? Think about that. Has any other religion, any other world religion, had a reconciler between God and man? And the answer is no. All world religions, no matter how well intended, are under control of the kingdom of darkness. You realize that? Yeah, they are. And deception is the enemy's tool. Deception and discouragement. You ever feel discouraged? You bet. You're a human. You felt discouraged. And people in this deception right now are flocking to Islam, aren't they? They're flocking to Islam. And there's a good number that are trying to go to Buddha because, oh, there's war in Islam. And Buddha gives, peace. I got to have peace. You know, that whole thing. They have no reconciler. There's no cross. There's no Savior. There's no way to God in any other religion. We have that down. Is that like in the brains? Was that indelibly imprinted there? I hope so. Is it any wonder? Now think about this. That world religions persecute Christians. Because the root of all world religions is satanic. Isn't that something? It is satanic. And they're attempting to snuff out the light. Satan is attempting to destroy God's people. Remember, the light exposes the darkness and Satan hates it. That's why he hates you. That's why he wants to snuff you out. That's why he wants you as a Christian to be off in a corner. And most of the time he does it through discouragement. He does it through, a lot of times even within the church, division. So people, what do? They go off to the side. They get in their pity party. And you start feeling sorry for yourself and woe is me and I can't find a place. That's right where Satan wants the Christian. Off to the side, useless. Don't fall for it, folks. Don't fall for it. There is a place for you someplace. There is a place for you someplace. You are the light that exposes the darkness. All those in God's kingdom last week are pictured as being home. You are in the household of God. What comfort is there in that? The household of God. That was 219 last week. The home, this home, God's home, is a secure home. It's, by the way, it's the only home that's not dysfunctional. Everybody says, yeah, I was raised in a dysfunctional home. Okay, we all were. At some point, I mean, we all come from a sinful background. We all had dysfunctional homes at some point. You got to get over that and push on. His home is a secure home. The foundation is firm because Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. It's built on the apostles and the prophets. The foundation is firm. Your home is secure and your home is safe. That is a safe place to be. You who believe have been perfectly fitted. Remember, you are fitted into as stones, fitted into this building. He's building a temple. He's building a home. Each person in here, uniquely fitted. You're a unique fit. I'm a unique fit. I can't fit into your spot. You can't fit into my spot. He fits you in perfectly into this home. You are a dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit is in you. Think about this. What does this mean to me? That I'm fitted into this home. What does it mean to me? Well, listen. Now, born again believers, you have, because you have been fitted into this home perfectly, you have power. Dunamis. And remember, the prefix is duna. And anytime you see duna, it means you are capable. Capable, able. You are able to overcome anything. You have the power to do it. The Spirit of God in you. You have the power to make it. You can have joy in spite of all the crud in the world. You can overcome all the stuff. All the stuff in your workplace. Guess what? When you go into a workplace, are you going into a nice, bright, wonderful place? No, we're going into the kingdom of darkness, aren't we? Yeah, that's why it's difficult. And by the way, even if it was perfect, what was the result of the fall for us to go into the workplace? Thorns and thistles. thorns and thistles. All day long, thorns and thistles. Whenever you're in your workplace and you're going, oh man, does this stink? Thorns and thistles. That's it. Just let it come into your mind. Thorns and thistles. How about marriage issues? How about relational issues? Overcome all the stuff. Addictions. Old patterns of thinking have to be overcome. Old patterns of thinking. The old you must be gone. The new you, forward march. You've been born again in the family of God. The new you, forward march. You know what? There's a song about that. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. That's it. Forward march. That's where we're going. Now this week, we're going to be talking about the mystery in me. Now what in the world does that mean? When you hear the word mystery in this chapter, what we're going through, think about Jew and Gentile together in one body called the church. We are all part of this solid foundation church, Jew and Gentile, all of us. It was a mystery. It wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. It was revealed in the New Testament. That's why it's called a mystery. You, all of us together, the body of Messiah, Jesus Messiah, who is name above all names, like we sang. We're going to enter our teaching today, the mystery in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. It is absolute truth in a world that has no knowledge of what real truth is. We're living in a culture where your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. That's a lie. There is one truth, and that is written in your word and the things that you teach. It's not some cloudy, fuzzy thing that's out there, but it is all encompassed in you, the Lord Jesus. Help us to hear your truth today. Speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. How we need you, Holy Spirit, to open our spiritual eyes and ears, and then to hear what you've told us, and then act on what you have told us. Father, I ask you to touch each person here uniquely where they need to be touched. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, are you a prisoner for this mystery or this church that has been established? For this reason, I, Paul, now when he says this reason, he's talking about he'd been reconciled, he was a firm foundation, if the Holy Spirit was a dwelling place for him because he's the church, he's been fitted in perfectly. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, prisoner for Christ Jesus. Paul viewed, now hear this, this isn't what how everybody views this, by the way. Paul viewed prison in Rome as God's will for him. How many guys in prison say, hey, this is God's will. This is where I'm supposed to, well, if you're born again, you're going to realize there's a plan for this, okay? God's will from them. Paul viewed prison in Rome as God's will for them, and I asked the question, really? And it is exclamation point, really? Really? God spoke to Paul, and he spoke to him uniquely, and he told him what his ministry was going to be like. Now, how would you like to, you ever hear somebody say, well, somebody gave me a prophecy and I'm going to have that house. I'm going to have that mountain. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. Prophesied. Prophesied. Well, listen to the real word of the Lord as it prophesied to an apostle in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. He's talking to the Ephesian elders in this setting, and he's giving a farewell to the Ephesian elders. He tells them later in this chapter to not shun to preach the whole word of God to your people, Ephesian elders. And remember, there are going to be wolves, savage wolves coming in that'll try to steal people away from within and from without. And he's warning them. But just prior to the warning, there was a word spoken that God spoke to him about what his ministry would be like. Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God, that was his message, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit, that's his Spirit, to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except, verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, how would you like that? How many times you hear somebody give a prophecy like that about them? It's usually, oh, we're going to get this, we're going to get that, oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's just cheery, 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 cheery. I want you to notice Paul's attitude. No matter if it was chains and tribulations, verse 24. And I think that this is something that we should incorporate into our mindsets, folks. As we are getting closer and closer to things getting rougher and rougher for the Christian in this nation, incorporate this into your mindset. But none of these things move me. Let that resonate within your spirit. None of these things move me. I don't care what the culture does, none of these things move me. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Better get to that point, because we don't know when that's going to happen. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy. In spite of the crushings, the tribulations, all the stuff, that I may finish my race with joy, because I'm doing what the Master called me to do. I'm immersed in what He's called me to do. The ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Everyone that has come into the family of God has come in with a ministry given to you, specific for you to carry out. You know, people put bumper stickers on their cars and say, minister, minister. They want a parking spot or something. You know what minister is? Servant. I'll expound on that in just a few minutes more about what minister means, but it's a servant. They don't put servant on the back of their car. They put minister. You know, it's like it's a hierarchy. No, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, and I will suggest to you that you have that ministry. To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Maybe not in the same way that Paul did, but in your home where you start, in your workplace, wherever you're coming in contact with people, you are to testify to the grace of the glory of our God. That is what we are called to do. In Acts 21, 10 through 11, there was another prophecy that was given. And he was at the house of Philip. Philip was one of the deacons. He had four daughters who prophesied, had the gifts of prophecy. But they didn't give the prophet Agabus came from the north, came down, and he gave a prophecy, a true prophecy that said that he was going to be bound in Jerusalem. Another cheery thing, that he would be bound. I'll tell you, it's not all sugar and spice and everything nice, is it? Sugar and spice and everything nice is really not part of this earth very often. We try to gravitate to make sugar and spice and everything nice. We'll go towards things that for a fleeting moment, might bring that into your life. That's why people get into different things. I'll tell you, you can have joy in spite of the journey with the Lord Jesus. You really can. I'm not just making this up. I mean, you can. You have joy on the journey if you have the Lord Jesus with you. Through it all, Paul did not consider himself a prisoner of man, a prisoner of Rome. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Man, that's what we want to be, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. His circumstances, listen to this, did not dictate his attitude. Try that one out. His circumstances did not dictate his attitude or his effectiveness or his purpose. Folks, you have a purpose. Wherever you are, you have a purpose that is beyond what it seems like you're doing. You might be dragging through something and struggling through something, but you have a purpose there. Paul did not let any of that stuff affect him. Every believer is a prisoner of Jesus. They're in some prison. I don't care if it's a health prison, a crisis prison, marriage, work, school. Anybody been to college? Some people really enjoy that. Now, if Chris was here, she just loved college. It was just, so much fun. I'm going to class. You know what it was for me? Prison. Prison. It was prison in elementary. It was prison in junior high. It was prison in high school. It was prison in college. I hated the whole thing. Amen.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, but guess what? You got to do some things you don't like, okay? How about the what's going on around me prison, the disappointment prison, the fear prison, the whatever prison that you might be in? Guess what? For the Christian, none of these things move me. You know how I made it through college? Lord Jesus. None of these things move me. When I had a nursing instructor come up to me and said, I know why you're here, and I'm going to make sure you flunk out of this program. You don't belong here. And that's the truth. Jesus, you don't belong here. None of these things move me. Even back then, because I knew this is what God wanted me to do. You just want to use this to get the anesthesia. I know you. I know people like you. I'm just trying to make it through, ma'am. That's all I'm trying to do. None of these things moved me, nor did I consider my life dear to myself. That has to be our attitude. Verse 2 through 4, God's plan for the church. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, and how wonderful that is, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So God's plan for the church. Now listen to this. God entrusted Paul with the grace message. He entrusted them. Now think about Paul. Trust a prisoner? He was a prisoner. People would say, you trusting a prisoner? You trusting a prisoner? Really? God trusted a prisoner. Trust a persecutor of men and women with this message of grace, because that's what he was pre-salvation, a persecutor of men and women. Trust a murderer. Now, we don't see that he actually murdered, but it's implied that he was involved. At least at Stephen's death, he was giving assent. He was giving assent to what was going on with Stephen as he was stoned. Paul was saved by grace and changed just like us. Saved by the grace of God. We are no longer the way we were. Folks, I hope that's happening to you. When you get saved, you're a baby. And God is in the process of making you mature, growing you in the grace and the knowledge. It is never the way you were. It's the way I'm going to be. I'm growing. I'm moving. I'm progressing. I'm not stuck in the past. It's not the way we were. And verse 3 says, how did he receive this grace message? Folks, it was by revelation, and it is the same with you. God's word to the apostle, and he speaks to us through his word, now to us through his written word. Galatians 1:11, I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel I preach is not something made out. I did not receive it by man. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I received it. It was revealed to me. It was God taught. It was not made up. It was God revealed. It was not made up. And by the way, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit illuminates this word to you when you're born again. Ever have people say, well, I've just read it and I just can't understand it. Do you have the Spirit in you? Have you asked God to illuminate the Scripture to you? I'm telling you, I'm reading this Scripture and I'm going, well, how am I going to develop this text? This is the truth. You go through it for the first time and you go, well, I'd like to go to something a little more meaty than this. I mean, how do I, you know? And so you ask God to illuminate the Scripture to you. And it takes time. It takes work. It takes meditating on the Word. It takes effort. It's not just a cursory read it through and go, I didn't get anything out of that. No, you dig into it. You dig into it. That's what you have to do. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the written Word to your heart, makes you to see. Paul shared his knowledge of the mystery. Now, that is important. He shared what he learned. We don't get knowledge just to be smarter. Okay, I know all the Greek. I don't know Greek. I try to pronounce them, let's say it that way. At least I'm reading it in the text. But, you know, he shared the knowledge of the mystery. And folks, it is up to us to share what God is teaching us. Don't keep it to yourself. It's not just for self-edification. Remember, knowledge puffs up. But this knowledge that we get is for the world to know. That the world may know. I like Ray Vanderlaan's statement. That the world may know that there is a Messiah. That there is a Jesus that came to this earth that changes everything. Changes everything. That the world may know. Tell them the old story of Jesus. Tell them the old story of Jesus and his love. Tell the people. This word mystery, John Stott says, it's the word is mysterion. And it means, although still a secret, it is no longer closely guarded, but it is open. And this secret is Jew and Gentile in one body. The body of Messiah, all earth now are part of the can be part of the kingdom of God. Not just a select nation, but now all of us can be part of the kingdom of God. In verse 5 and 6, we see that a perfect time, a perfect word to a select group just for you. Just for you, a special people at a special time. Verse 5 and 6, which in other ages was not made known. There was nobody knew what the church was in the Old Testament. To the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles. Remember, they're the foundation and the prophets. That the Gentiles, this is the mystery, should be fellow heirs of the same body. The people of God. The Jews were the people of God. Now the church is incorporated of all the world. The Gentiles are part of this. And partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. How do we come into this family? How do we know about the Lord Jesus? It is the gospel. When you're witnessing to somebody, folks, this is what you tell them. You don't argue about creation. You don't argue about, well, did evolution happen? You don't argue about other world religions. You know what you tell them? The gospel. The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He sits on the right hand of God the Father. He's coming again to judge the earth. Now you're going to be judged for your sins, or your sins are going to be carried by the Savior. Which one do you want? Which ones do you want? Because if he comes to judge your sins, you know where you're going? To the lake of fire. You're going to hell forever. Okay? I can't make it any simpler. I'm going to have to stand before God one day and give an account of what I taught, and I have to teach you the truth. That's not a pleasant thing to teach. It isn't. It's not a pleasant thing to teach that the majority of humanity are going down the wrong road. They're going down the broad road that leads to destruction. But it is a pleasant thing to teach that there is a rescue, and it's the Lord Jesus. And if you receive his gift of salvation, you get to live. I mean, what a deal. Crummy us get to live with King Jesus forever. That's a great swap. That's a great swap. What a great time to live, folks. Let me tell you that. What a great time to live. The church age, the grace age, it's the hope age. Jesus is going to return age. And guess what? Our glorification age. There will be a day when we're glorified, when we get new bodies. When we become new people, no more hurt, no more pain, glorified. That's what we're looking for. Every born-again believer is looking forward to the day when they are made whole and made perfect. Now, the only qualifier to that is usually when you're about 16 or 17 and you say, well, I'd like to graduate. I'd like to get my license. I'd like to get married. Well, I want to get to heaven. Okay, I'm past all that. Want to get to heaven, glorified. Listen to this. This mystery of Christ was not a creation of man's mind. Man could never have figured this out. No man in the physical world could ever penetrate the spiritual world, no matter what some have claimed. Some have claimed that they have pierced the spiritual world, have they not? No guru, no false teacher, no mystical thinker. Everybody wants the mystical, the mystery. Oh, I want the connection. I want the electricity. Okay? Do not be waylaid by the strange stuff. You are living in an era where things will get stranger and stranger. Don't get waylaid by the strange stuff, the mysterious stuff, masquerading as the real deal. No matter how spectacular, Satan has lying signs and wonders. Now, if you just turn to 2 Thessalonians, this is a very popular verse. Well, it's popular with me, but maybe not popular with the rest of the world, because it's going to tell the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says something that's going to give you absolute clarity of what's happening in the future, what's starting to happen now. The coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan. He's the power behind the Antichrist. With all power, same word, dunamis, making those people capable with the lie. With all power, signs and lying wonders. What's going to be happening? Miracles, stuff happening that's really strange, drawing people to the occult, drawing people to the false way to God. That's what's happening. More and more and more. You see people turn into horoscopes. You see people channeling. The demons know what's going on. They extrapolate. They put into the minds of that lady, and she shares that information. The scripture says, don't have anything to do with that. There is such a thing as the demonic realm. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. It's deception. Ouija board, tarot cards, all that stuff connecting you with the occult. Deception. I'm saying it's real and it's a false way to go. Avoid it. Run from it. Flee from it. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie because they did not believe the truth. They did not, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. If you don't believe the truth, you're going to fall for the lie, folks. Get to know this word so well that when something is off of this word, you know it right away. Your Holy Spirit ears just go, whoa, I don't believe that. You don't have to study other world religions. You just have to study the original to know the false. That's all you have to do. Paul became a minister, a diakonos, a servant. It's where we get our word deacon. The root is diakonis, and it actually means to labor in the dust. Put that on your bumper sticker. I labor in the dust. People are going to really honor that, aren't they? See, they like minister, but not labor in the dust. That's what we're called to do. According to the gift of grace, he was not super spiritual. Paul was not super spiritual. He wasn't super good. He wasn't super anything. Just like us. Believe it or not, we're not super. Super duper. But by grace, he was saved by grace, and it's the same as us, folks. Saved by grace. All believers are ministers, servants of the Most High God. And your calling, where you minister, may differ, but all are to be ministers to some degree. To some degree. Verse 8. Paul said that he was the least of all. The mighty Apostle Paul said he was the least of all. What does he mean by the least of all? Well, let's read verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what I'm preaching. That's what I'm ministering. The unsearchable riches of Christ. No one wants to be the least, do they? Everybody wants to be picked first, get me on the team. Don't make me be the last. Nobody wants to be the least. 1 Timothy kind of gives some clarification on this. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Just stop right there, because anything you do that is for God's honor and glory, he enabled you. He enabled you because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I would, listen to this background. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. I was formerly, and folks, we were all formerly, doesn't define who we are now. We all have a past. All have done things we wished were erased. Is that not so? Yes, God has a great eraser. Listen to this. And it's called forgiveness. It's called forgiveness. Once forgiven, folks, it is done. Let it go. Let it go. Don't wallow in the past. Don't wallow in your past failures. Don't wallow in where you were. This keeps you bound up and unable to progress. From the least of us when we were lost to our greatest when we're saved, for His glory. That's what we want. And we want to preach caruso. Caruso, to herald the truth that God has sent a love gift to us. He sent a love gift to each one of us in the Lord Jesus. He sent a love gift. Tell the truth about Jesus and tell the truth about His love, folks. Verse 9. And what is our job? To make all see the mystery, the church built upon the Lord Jesus, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, us together, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now look at this. We just don't tell them, we show them. We demonstrate it to them. We show them the world about fellowship of the mystery. We actually, guess what? The church is supposed to get along. You hear that? We are actually supposed to get along. People see us getting along. It's a witness. Now, how can we facilitate this? How can we facilitate getting along? I just wrote down a few things here. First of all, I think one of the things, in order to get along with other folks within the body of Christ, you have to have a gentle spirit with other people. Not holding their feet to the fire, not a condemning spirit. I mean, we're all going to fall short. I mean, just face that. We're humanity. I don't care where you are in this paradigm, there will be a time when you fall short. You don't have to come down hard. Remember, Jesus was gentle with people. He was gentle with His people. He was really rough on the religious. But He was gentle with His people. Secondly, be quick to forgive. Colossians 3:13, we are to bear with one another. That means to put up with one another. You know that? We got to put up with each other. Might as well do. We're going to be with each other forever. Bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgiven you, so also must you. This is not an option. You got something against your wife, you have to forgive. Or against your husband, you got to forgive. Against a coworker, you got to forgive. Against whoever stole your toy, or you got to forgive. We must forgive. How do we facilitate getting along? Spirit of kindness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of long-suffering, patience. Patience. We are all a work in progress. Jesus summed it up this way in John 13:35. People will know that we are genuine with this. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. It's demonstrated for the world to see. Verse 10 and 11, it's not just for the world, but guess what? It's also for the spiritual realm, the angelic realm, the supernatural realm. Verse 10 and 11, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, oh, the church has a responsibility, to the principalities, that's the holy and unholy angels, and power, those are authorities, these are spiritual forces, in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The angelic realm, now listen to this, because it's kind of strange. The angelic realm is amazed at us. Do you know that? They look at us and wonder, wow, God loves them. That's just an amazing thing. He loves them. He dwells with people like that. 1 Peter 1:12 says, things which angels desire to look into. And that's about redemption. That God has salvation for humanity through the Son. That God gave Himself to die. The angels are going, wow, it blows their mind. They're going, this is, I'm going to redeem them. God's eternal plan, His eternal purpose was prior to the universe, prior to earth. This isn't fall of earth, did not catch God by surprise. God's plan was in effect that the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Godhead, would redeem, purchase, that's what redeem is, purchase out of the slave market of sin a people for God. He would purchase them. He purchased mankind. And angels, good and bad, take note of this action. Because this was stunning to them. Stunning. Puny, frail man loved by an awesome God. David Guzik has this to say. God also wants to reveal his wisdom to the church, but the big picture, God doesn't use the angels to reveal his wisdom to the saints, but he does use the saints to reveal his wisdom to the angelic realm. Both faithful and fallen. This reminds us that we are called for something far greater than our own individual salvation and sanctification. We are called to be the means by which God teaches the universe a lesson, and a beautiful lesson. They see us indeed, the angelic realm, they see us indeed in all of our weakness and in all of our sin, but they see a nature which is wrecked by itself was yet made in the image of their God and ours. And they see his God at work upon the wreck that produces results not only wonderful in themselves, but doubly wonderful because of the conditions. They look at us and they are astounded at the condition we are in, and that God loves us. And we are created in the image of God. Now hear this. This is the reason that we must view all life as precious. No matter the illness, you got a stage 4 cancer and you're wasting away. You're valuable. You were created in the image of God. And that whole death process is a witness to the angelic realm of this amazing love that God has for us. The deformities, the mental illnesses that happen, or the aberrancies in brains and that sort of thing that happens. We are made in the image of God. Folks, all of our flesh is going to die. That's 100%. 100%. There'll be no more. But praise God. Praise God, my soul, my spirit, and eventually we will get a new body that will live forever. Praise God. Verse 12, the mystery of the Jew and Gentile in one body, we can boldly have access to God. Bold access to God. Verse 12, we're coming down to the home stretch, folks. Hang on. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Boldness and access to God. Jew and Gentile has nothing to do with ethnic superiority as the Jews had in the past. We're all one. It's only through Jesus. Folks, divisions in the church have not always been between Jew and Gentile. The Reformers spoke out against the division between clergy and the laity. Did you realize that there was a big division between the clergy? They think I'm the clergy. And the laity, which is you guys. The big division. Here's the king, here's the serfs. King, serfs. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So between the clergy and the laity, and the teaching of the priesthood of all believers insisted that all had the same access to God. Think about something. Think about this. When you do away with the hierarchy of this is the clergy and this is the laity, I have all knowledge, you have no knowledge, it does away with this. And it's something that has happened in our country many, many times. It does away with cult worship. Cult worship. Leader worship. You never worship the leader, you worship the king. I don't care how dynamic that dude is. You worship the king. That's it. It prevents people like Jim Jones from coming to power. Now, I don't know if any of you guys remember him, but this guy came to power. And there were a lot of people died because David Koresh, the same thing. There are pastors that are controllers that want the leadership. They want everybody to bow down to them. No, we bow down to the Lord Jesus. That's who we bow down to. The world is amazed. The angels are amazed, and I'll tell you, I am amazed that we all through faith have honest access to God. All of us. There's no clergy laity. All of us have honest access to God. Okay? Finally, verse 13. Knowing these things, do not lose heart in tribulation. Paul is telling him that all this stuff that has happened, all these truths that he has taught up to this point, and that he's in prison. Don't lose heart because I'm in prison. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Paul says, I am in Nero's prison, but Nero doesn't hold me. Regardless of the circumstances, God had not lost sight of Paul, nor has he lost sight of you. No matter where you are, guard against discouragement. Do not lose heart in tribulation. Folks, that's the Christian battle cry. Do not lose heart in tribulation. That is the Christian battle cry. And that tribulation is thalispis. It means crush, compress, squeeze, grievous affliction or distress. Don't lose heart when you're being crushed by the world and by life. God is on your side, and guess what? You are a victor. You are a victor. Folks, it's all going to be worth the price. Whatever the suffering we are called to bear, even martyrdom, it will be worth it all. And folks, many have done just that, and more recently, for the cause of Christ. The mystery, this is the conclusion, the mystery in me, or the mystery of the church in me, or Christ in me, the hope of glory, however you're looking at this. The mystery gives me purpose. The church gives me purpose. I'm part of a body. I'm part of the body of Christ. It gives me purpose. My life to serve the King. This mystery requires special revelation. I just didn't think this up. God came to me. He is always the initiator. He is always the one that reveals truth to us. Number three, the mystery affected heavenly beings. What's going on with us affects the angelic realm. Remember that. They're watching. And the mystery gives me strength to suffer, even to martyrdom. It gives me the strength to be curled up, wasting away. I don't know how that's going to happen. God's got to do that in me. I don't have that naturally. He has to do that at the time. He has to do that. It's for Christ's glory. Remember, when you see somebody suffering, somehow God's going to be glorified. The angelic realm is watching. It's a witness to people. There's a purpose in it, even though we can't quite see it. And then I want to finish with the words that I started with. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you alive? Where are you going? Who are you following? And what voices do you listen to? What voices are you listening to? Hopefully, the voice that you're listening to is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that'll strengthen you on your journey. Folks, don't we need it? Don't we need the Holy Spirit rod of iron up our spine to make it through this thing called earth? Listen to his voice. Hear his gentle call. And if you haven't come to Christ, I urge you, if you are not a Christian, don't put it off. It is the reason that you were created. You were created to have a relationship with God, and it's only through his Son. And then lead a full life for his honor and his glory. The mystery in me, Jew and Gentile, the church, one body, one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to study your word, and I really pray that you will put this word in the hearts of people. Don't let anybody leave here that is not part of your family, Lord. They can become part of your family today. I pray that they'd be born again of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, touch their hearts. Touch the hearts of people that are away from you. Touch the hearts of your children who have been walking in disobedience to you. Draw them to yourself. Help them to repent. Change the direction. Move towards you. Lord, you're worth it. You're worth living right for. You've given us everything. Help us to give you everything in return. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for this time to study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.